Well, also, because China has experienced such a great brain drain, that 50% of their graduate students go to do postdocs outside of China, and very few of them return, that they are starting to reform the Chinese Academy of Sciences, starting to make some reforms to woo, you know, and how... You know, how conscious of you are that you, are you of this, that you're part of this brain Chinese brain drain, and then the second question would be, how attractive would it, what would it take for you to consider returning to China?
So I'm very aware of this brain drain. I think it's not something. I think it's all market regulated by the market. I think because of this brain drain, it created pressure for the Chinese government to make these changes, which has been great to Chinese science development. Mm-hmm. Yeah, only 50% went back, but that has been a huge help for a country. And, you know, now I went back in 2001, I went back in 1998. I've seen this dramatic changes in scientific research, and I'm going back again this October. I'm going to visit some institutions there. I think all these so-called brain drain has ended up being a positive impact on China. I think it's a great thing, and there shouldn't be any regulations to stop it. I think any regulation you do, it would be only detrimental. Mm-hmm. You just create, as a society, China should just create to be more open and have more open competition for jobs. And, and just, I think that's what is happening. Now you go to the best institutions, you see most of those PIs are trained abroad.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are publishing in the international journals. That was non-existent, even probably 5 years ago. So that's, I think it's a great thing. I mean, in terms of me personally, I think I wouldn't fit very well in that environment. I'm just not very good at relationship building. I think I enjoy this culture, this society, mostly because, you know, it's very simple. You do your job, that's all. That's all that's needed. But in China, no, you not only have to do your job, you also have to be good with interpersonal relationships, and it's just very tiring to me. I'm just too direct and straightforward. I think I would easily offend a lot of people, and that wouldn't be good. That would not be good for me to really try to make a career.
Yeah. Well, how concerned should nations, countries, states be about losing scientists? How important is this issue?
Instead of concerning that, the states and countries should think, why? Can we do something to promote the retention? That's what China did. I mean, over the many years, they create positions now to make it attractive for people to go back. And a lot of people are going back. I think if this trend continues, there will be more and more people go back. Just like Taiwan, I think 20 years ago, most Taiwan scientists stayed here. But now, a lot of them go back.
Yeah.
So I think in the end, the Earth is going to be so internationalized in many professions. So it's going to be less of a concern.
Okay. Well, the United States also is concerned now. Well, it's calmed down a bit, but for a while there, it was concerned with a reverse brain drain. A prominent UCSF faculty member left the United States to take a position in England because of regulations on certain technologies. And how concerned are you?
I think that's a problem. I think U.S. really need to be careful about this. These kind of policies, like, you know, they sometimes, in this period, due to terrorist attacks, they are limiting visas of scientists to come to do research. Because you will, I think what it will hurt is, what if those very best, like Albert Einstein, happen to be weeded out? I think that would be huge loss to this country. I think this country need to be really careful, not take extremes of doing certain things because of certain threat. I think it has to be balanced out. I think, you know, that's what the Academy is trying to do, really trying to give the government advice of not taking extremes, not, you know, most scientists coming to this country are not terrorists, have nothing to do with that, but now there are certain times when a person obtaining a visa to come do research would have to wait for a year.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous.
What's your own status, citizen status? Or
I'm American citizen.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no concern. Yeah. What about regulation of certain technologies, for instance, cloning or stem cell research? How concerned are you that this kind of regulation will impede the progress of science in the United States?
Well, that's a very tough question. I think I take more lefty kind of view. I think as long as it is medically beneficial and it's not creating a big ethical issue, I think it should be allowed. Maybe China went too far, but I think America tend to be much more conservative compared to Europe.
Yeah.
I think America should be at least as progressive as European countries. Although even in Europe, probably there are differences. I mean, Hughes meetings, they tend to discuss these issues. And since I don't do those kind of research, I'm less sort of, I spend much less time even thinking about it.
Yeah.
I'm more, I'm lucky I don't have to worry about any of those regulations.
Yeah. Okay. How important is it to you to have some kind of medical applicability or therapeutic applicability to your work?
Not important.
Yeah.
And that's a plus. Because I think it's really much more fun to do research following your heart than doing research following the trend. Oh, it has to be medically oriented, so I have to, you know, figure out how am I going to make my connection. I think it's better to have the connection naturally coming than go seek connection. I'm very fortunate by being here.
Right. You're one of the few peer scholars whose application did not make some reference.
That's
to any.
I never really bothered with it. I mean, you know, sometimes you do put one or two sentences there. Well, it's related to cancer.
Right.
But it's really marginally.
And when do you see the need to do that?
When you apply for the grants, you know, you want to put one or two sentences in the section they say, describe the significance to human health or to, you know, advancing our knowledge and understanding human health or so forth.
Yeah. Well, how much is that is a game that everybody plays, and that some granting agencies do have, it is important to them?
Depending on the granting agency. I think I sat on the prostate cancer grant for the panel for 3 years. For that particular panel, it's really important. You have to have a real application potential, or directly, your research has to directly relate to prostate cancer. Otherwise, you are not going to be funded.
Yeah.
So, but sometimes it's just like certain grants. It's really just like NIH grant. I think that sometimes if you don't put it in there, they won't say, I'm going to cut your grant by half. I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, how confident are you that because you don't really have, you aren't interested in this?
I'm interested in that, but I just don't think it's right to just try to make that connection so you will get funding.
Yeah.
I think it's much better if you just think how it might be connected in the scientific point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And so far I have to say I'm kind of, since I don't have an MD, if I had an MD, I think it would be much easier for me to go seek links. I don't have an MD. It's really hard to do that, and I haven't done that.
Yeah.
I mean, Bruce, my mentor, my postdoctoral mentor, is very much into that we should really try to do medically oriented research, and there's a huge interest there, and also there's a lot of interesting things that you can discover. I completely agree with that, but it also takes a person with the right background. I don't think I have that kind of background, and I don't have a collaborator around that I could really talk to. And particularly what I study is very basic. It's really talking about a basic process, and that's probably made it a little bit even more limited.
Yeah, okay. Well, what's the relationship between the basic researcher and the more applied researcher?
A basic researcher probably tend to think about a problem without thinking about the clinical manifestation. I think a applied researcher probably would more think about, okay, what is the disease? What is the mechanism of disease? I think that would be a difference. Mm-hmm. I think it would be great if, and that's why I really think those MD PhD programs are wonderful. Because then you have the kind of background which will encourage you to make those connections.
Yeah.
You are also a basic researcher. I think that's, those are really ideal.
Yeah.
Training.
Okay, well, one thing I do to help prepare for an interview is I scan the patent database.
I don't have any.
You don't have any patents, and also nobody has used any of your work to support their claims for a patent, which is unusual, because most Pew scholars have, somebody has cited their papers or something to support their claims. So I guess I'll just ask then, how much encouragement do you receive here at the Carnegie Institution to look for commercial value in your work?
None.
Okay.
It's never on the agenda.
Yeah, there's not a technology transfer office here?
Well, there is. I mean, Carnegie actually is known for its strength in developing new technologies, like P-Element is developed here for Drosophila research, which really revolutionized Drosophila genetics, made many things possible. RNAi is developed here, and also, the same person, Andy Fire, who developed RNAi, also developed the transformation protocol for C. elegans, which has been really very useful.
Yeah.
I think Carnegie is really very well known for its ability to do. Oh, and we have Nina Federal, who developed plant transformation, and she had patent.
Yeah.
Carnegie is known for that, but that's really never a requirement. It's a byproduct more so. It's just researchers here are driven by an interest in the problem, and in order to solve that problem, they develop technology.
Yeah.
That's the style here. So I never really had any. It was never a problem.
But they do have an office for technology transfer.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about MTAs and material transfer agreements? Have you had any experience where you've needed a reagent or a clone
and
before you can send out any?
I have never had any problem with that.
Yeah.
I mean, we cloned a bunch of genes which are all novel in gamma tubulin research.
Right.
I went to our director and said, "Oh, do you want to patent this?" He said, no, not necessary.
Yeah,
that's fine. I'm fine with that. I have no problem.
Yeah. Well, and how important is it for scientific progress that, monopolies and rewards are given to certain technologies? Basically, given patents. How important are patents for promoting scientific progress?
I think it's very important. But since I never really think along those lines. I don't have much insight.
Okay, great. Well, that was the last area I wanted to talk about. And so my last question will be to you before I turn it over to you is, what does it mean to be a Pew Scholar?
Well, it's a great privilege to have had great retreats and to have known a lot of equal wonderful scientists at equal stage of career. I think it's really a great boost in your early stage of career to have gotten this award where it really is just telling you, all your effort is noted. You're doing the right thing.
and you should keep working and keep going with it. I think that's sort of on one side. On the other side is that money has been great, and that has offered me the opportunity to get into new areas. So.
Okay. Well, what would you like to add to the record that we haven't covered?
I think we covered quite a bit of things. Yeah, I think you have been very comprehensive.
Okay, well, we appreciate you taking your time out of your schedule to do this interview. And
well,
it's been my pleasure.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very interesting.